trouble so hard. Ooh, Lord, my trouble so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
See, one of the wonderful things about our international correspondents is you can usually guarantee on them actually putting together some wonderful words of wisdom and posting it online. Every so often, though, they go extraordinarily brief in the whole system, as indeed Ilana Rain has just said, which is radio, live, now, sarinonline.co.uk. Yay! were the muses not with you this week, Ilana? Because normally there are bikini roller disco scenarios there. There are extraterrestrial landings going on there. But, you know, radio live now! Exclamation mark. Go! Fantastic.
Well, let me tell you, I'm just recovering some brain fragments that were left over from my night last night with Phil and Lily.
Phil and Lily. Unbelievable. You know, it's one of them's going to be on the show later. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was really amazing. It was like it started at around 6, and on reflection, it feels like I was in a montage, and a montage of someone who's new to L.A., and, you know, let's forget about, you know, they've been here 9 months, but it was the feeling, like, get to Phil's house, start talking about this project we're collaborating on, and about half an hour, and then we walk through this magnificent butter light on tree-lined streets, and we meet up with Lily, and they take me to the subway stop. And I know it's called the Metro here, but it was very exciting to me because this is my absolute first time on the Metro. And I just began to, like, be filled with this childlike innocence and excitement about, you know, what it's like to experience these things for the first time. And for me, metros and subways all over the world, just, you know, having grown up on the New York City subway, I connect to these places where people go and the trains, and it's special. And then we get out, and, you know, we're on our way to go see some comedy hosted by Dean, and we're a little early, so we have this, you know, grilled cheese sandwich and a beer, and it's just perfect. It's perfectly buttered and grilled. And we go, and we meet Dean at the entrance, and he's like, hey, yeah, great, oh, and it's just so great to see Dean. And he's like, well, we're going to have the show back here in this room. So Dean leads us, excuse me, into this room, this big black tiled room with angular triangle seats and spotlights and police sirens and slabs of concrete. And
you see, what you've described there, Ilana, is rather like a typical day out in Mask in many ways, I think.
It sounds like that. But then Phil's like, oh, yeah, this is a bondage club.
Yeah, that's what I said, a typical day out in Mask. I mean, Catherine Harrison.
I shall keep quiet.
Northeast listeners.
So apparently, this is where they have their comedy shows, in this S&M bondage club. So it was at that moment that my montage just did like a, you know, 180 and, you know.
I'm not a child anymore. I can't be here. Go away.
Yeah. But it was great. You know, I mean, there was some, you know, great moments in the show. I mean, Dean was hysterical. And, you know, there was some negativity, which was a little hard for me to enjoy. But maybe because, you know, it was, there's always that fine line between, like, funny negative and positive, you know, and just flat out bitter, angry.
It's not a good place to go. I mean, we were talking actually before the show at this side of the Atlantic, in the part of the world that's referred to as Lincoln, England, as opposed to Nebraska. And Katie, we were saying about how, you know, you need to be positive, because we both come from a part of the country where it's fair to say there are a fair number of possible negative thinkers up there, aren't there, Catherine?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, like you're saying, sometimes people are so negative that it almost becomes, you know, infectious in the wrong way, and people then become down on it. And when something's been so good, like you're saying, it deserves a little bit more positivity about it.
Yeah, but, you know, the funny, I totally agree with it, you know, but it's like this idea of comedy that you're going, I'm not saying you always have to be constantly laughing, you know, that I actually appreciate the storytelling aspect that some stand-up comedians and performers do. Like, they're telling a story that might be amusing or reflective. It's not like you always need belly laughs,
no.
But there was one person that was just on such a negative head trip, I was like, I would never, ever willingly want to expose myself to that. But fortunately, the majority of the people there were actually genuinely, like, really funny, and I had a fantastic time in the bondage club.
And as
you've
studied, taken out of context, that's a quote you wouldn't necessarily want to actually sort of have going in public. But there we are. I know. But, you know, Ilana Rain, I had a fantastic time in the bondage club.
With the comedians, you left out the last part.
Yes.
You've got to say with the comedians.
You don't realise we went off air then.
Exactly. You don't really, you know, there's this whole sort of tension that's actually there, the misquoting scenario. I mean, we had, you know, what's Angelina Ballerina going to say about this? You know, the Angelina Ballerina, the musical. Yeah. Or the mousical, to be exact. Yeah, as opposed to moose. Moose, mouse, very confusing. Anyway, life continues. Any questions you'd like to put to Ilana about life, the universe, that shift from New York sophisticate to LA chill out person that she's been going through? You know,
that's very interesting. How are you finding it on the whole? Aside from the metro and the subway, is there things that are very different, you know, the words even?
Yes, sure. I mean, the weather is just relentlessly fabulous here. People are happier. Surrounded by creative people who don't have to stress out about just paying rent. So it's a win-win-win move to the West Coast.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I'm actually wanting to visit, well, I say wanting to, I will be visiting New York in November.
It's a great time for Spark.
Yeah, first time, and it's a special birthday.
Thanksgiving? Will it be Thanksgiving time? Or is it before
Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving's
nice, that whole parade. You know, New York's amazing, and I love visiting, and I've got family there. I'm going to always keep my 917 phone number just so people know who they're dealing with and talking to. But
917. See, I've watched Sex and the City film. I know what the 917 is. She had an argument with that, didn't she?
Dear Lord, yeah, exactly. See, this is an SFX I've never covered Sex and the City, as far as I'm aware. But anyway, life continues. Yeah, it's truly wondrous. What can we say? I mean, clearly, you know, Ilana Rain on the case as ever with respect to that. So any more bikini roller disco people you've encountered?
No, but I'm actually heading to the East Coast pretty soon to do a little comparative survey of the bikinis in the Hamptons versus the bikinis in Malibu.
Good.
And you have to hear this story. I was at Bikini Beach just a couple days ago with some friends, and fortunately they were in bikinis as I was. And this woman comes up to us and says, I've got a 19-year-old British exchange student. He's a friend of my son's, and he's sitting over there, and indeed he was wearing a bathing suit with a Union Jack on it.
Yeah. Well, that's how we identified abroad, you see. All of our exchange students. Our exchange students either have to wear a hanky across their heads, you know, tied in four corners, or Union Jack briefs.
And she said to us, she said, this might sound weird, but you three are so hot, and I just would love you to go stand next to him and take a picture, because he's really never met an actual California bikini girl, and this picture would mean a lot to him. So I got out of it. I said, no, it'll be a much better picture with just two women on the side of him. So I got out of the picture, but then I took a picture of him taking the picture. And sure enough, he just started drooling all over that picture.
Oh, please.
No, but I thought that was amazing. I was like, this thing, you know, it's, you know.
Ilana, I thought, you know, there was British sang-froid. I mean, you know, surely he should have actually sort of had a bowler hat and a nice umbrella and actually sort of maintained that coolness. You know, we can't have him drooling over bikini babe girls in California. It's just, please, you know.
He was 19, Alex.
Well, you know, Harry Potter, I don't think, would have got. Never mind, that's a different line entirely. The work is obviously continuing apace. We've caught a whole range of other sort of factors in terms of that. Coming up very shortly, of course, Ilana, we'll be off to the Great Yorkshire Show, which we've been eulogising about on the thing so far. But Ilana, have you got any questions you want to put to our debutante today? That's Catherine Brunskill, who it's her first time in the Siren base of the Madrid Drive, having previously been in our northeastern setup. So, you know, it's always, I mean, just as you travel from East Coast to West Coast, Catherine has actually come down from higher up on the East Coast to slightly lower down on the East Coast.
Yeah. Nice. Well, how are you finding the studios? I loved them. I think Alex runs a really wonderful operation there? Are you enjoying yourself?
Absolutely, yes. It's fantastic setup here. It's really great. I'm getting used to the headphones being on as well. That's always a strange thing to have something so close and around your ears all the time.
You could take them off, but obviously you wouldn't be able to hear Ilana at all, though.
Yes, no, I will leave them on. I might leave them on for just some more stories.
Yeah, you got to put them around your neck after and then just, like, kind of work that look.
That's the radio look.
But, Alex, I want to ask you how you're going to be celebrating our Independence Day on Friday, because usually talk on Independence Day.
So true. You know, this will be our Independence Day, as Roland Emmerich actually put into the words of a famous president who saved the world. Surely you just have to sort of acknowledge that, and as you know, Ilana, you and Phil and some of the other guys over there, you're secretly our deep cover agents, sorry CIA, to actually get the States back to the British Isles. You know, you could have David Cameron and Barack Obama. You could have Barack Cameron, David Obama. You know, it could be an elision there. You know, you should work on that side of things.
I can't believe you blew my cover, Phil. Phil's cover is not good. He had so many wrapped up in this.
Yeah, you see, and already the phone is going. You can tell that. You know, the button is going to be pressed to a sort of, are you still there, Ilana, or has the cover completely gone?
Ah, you may have blown it, man.
Oh, lordy.
Let's start a new operation.
Lordy, he says. Still to come, hopefully, Tallulah Rendell will be talking about her third fantastic album, Banshee and the Moon. Phil Leonis is back with us as ever. And we'll probably squeeze in that report we were talking about earlier with respect to National Farmers Safety Week. But it is time. Oh, we've got Jill. Jill is outside. We're going to open the door and get Jill Hart in the studio. We're going to send Catherine. Catherine, you need to press a green button to actually open that door. Otherwise, who knows what could actually happen? Meanwhile, I'll ask the last two questions. Ilana Rain, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
I absolutely did, but now I'm intrigued about this green button. Is it like the airlock?
It is. Absolutely. Unless you press the green button in the right coded fashion, then you know you could have all sorts of problematic issues occurring. But hopefully that's being sorted as we speak. If not, it'll go very quiet. Meanwhile, will we be looking up to connect with you? It's all right. We can breathe. We can breathe, Ilana. Jill Hart has managed to successfully...
Maybe the operation is still in place.
The operation is still in place, and we'll find out from Jill Hart from Linden Books what fabulous events they've got coming up very shortly with authors and sorts of things. In fact, Jill, how many months are we celebrating of Linden Books now?
We're just over 2 months.
2 months,
yes,
young.
Yes, 2 months old. We're very young.
Exactly. And it's the finest independent bookstore you could wish to find on the east
coast
of England.
It is indeed, Alex.
There we are. You see, that's exciting. Ilana, take care of yourself. We'll speak again very soon.
You too, Alex. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Snowdrops and daffodils, butterflies and bees, sailboats.
I never thought I'd actually enjoy the joys of Donna and all kinds of everything, but there we are. Yes, Eurovision Song Contest winner from the 1970s here on Siren 107.3 FM. Louise Dale signing and in the shop to chat Saturday the 12th of July. Jessie Burton talking signing. This can only be a Linden Books collection, can it not, Jill Hart?
It is, yes. Yes, we are launching our new author events campaign in this independent booksellers week, which we're in this week. And yes, we're all very excited.
And you're absolutely right to actually say today, this week, of course, the first week in July, first kind of not quite full week, but you know, end of June, full July, I think, is independent booksellers week. So why is that a good thing, Jill Hart?
It's a good thing because when I've only just joined the independent world, as we know, but when you are an individual bookshop, it's very nice to have the support and backup of a large organisation behind you to give you some support and help. And one of the things that they have been doing is putting together a really good selection of books for adults and children, and they've selected prize winners and all sorts of things. So it's been part of something larger.
which is perfect, of course. We also have got a mutual connection with Catherine Branscale, because Catherine, of course, we're working with Rob Nichols and, of course, Jenny Finch, both of whom were part of the Lincoln Inspired package, which took place at the start of this year's Lincoln Book Festival.
Yes, indeed.
You see, so it all connects together like one huge family. If you'd like to join this huge family, get online, like Linden Books, do a whole range of other bits and pieces there. Looking at the line here, it's nice to see the return of Karen Maitland. Big fan of Karen Maitland. She's coming in August, of course.
Yes. Well, sort of working in reverse order, as they say, if you like. Karen is going to be, she was a Lincoln girl originally. She no longer lives in Lincoln, sadly, but she's coming back up to see us for, which I'm sure will be a sellout event at the collection. She's recently moved from Penguin, which is obviously a mainstream book publisher, to Headline. So she is been snapped up by Headline, which is very good.
I just thought she shifted from Lincoln to Devon and Cornwall.
No, she's making leaps and bounds forward in her career, which is fabulous, and we're very lucky to have her.
Well, all quality stuff comes through from that point of view. Catherine, from your own point of view, is this a good thing in terms of tourism and such like, to actually have independent bookstores and book festivals and such like? What are your thoughts?
Oh, of course. I tend to think, and tying it in slightly with what we were talking about earlier in the magazines, I'm a lover of books. If you're going to read, I want to do the book. And I think there's a lot of people out there that still actually physically like getting the book and going and seeing it and looking at the covers and the like, instead of it being all the electronic, you know. Now there is a place for that, but there's also something special about getting the book. And
there is, and the second event that we have lined up, which is with Jessie Burton, is a book called The Miniaturist, which is a very beautiful little book. It's a lovely story. It's not a lovely story. It's quite a sinister story, actually, about a young woman in 17th century Amsterdam who is given as a wedding present a doll's house, but not a doll's house for children. And it's rather a sinister doll's house, but it's a lovely story. She's a very talented young woman, and we're very lucky to be getting her here to Lincoln. From the London publishers are bringing her up. But the book itself is the most beautiful little artefact with lovely M papers and everything. Yeah. You just want to stroke it.
It is, yeah. There's something very special. And the smell, quite often as well.
There's
a smell to books that you can't.
Do you smell
recreate.
Books, Alex?
I usually have therapy to actually help me through that aspect. And I wouldn't necessarily advocate book sniffing as a way forward, but it's soak up the atmosphere. You're quite right, in terms of the actual sensory feel of text. It's wonderful. It's paper. As long as you don't give yourself paper cuts, because that could be a health and safety issue, and we wouldn't want to go there. In terms of finding details out for this, because people could be listening to this in Los Angeles, in other parts of the world, in other parts of the country and so on, what's the web address for Linden Books? How can they find out about these things? And also, how can they get tickets?
Right. Well, tickets are available from us from ourselves in store. You can email us at info@lindenbooks.co.uk. That's LINDUM, obviously from the Roman Lincoln. Or you can have a look on our Facebook page, and you can sign up through our Facebook page for tickets too.
Splendid. And we may talk about, obviously, ways in which we can share that routine, because, of course, we did an audio postcard from Linden Books.
We did. It was very pleasant, Alex.
Well, just pleasant, Jill. I thought it moved you beyond words. Pleasant. So it sounds so bland. Tallulah Randall, never bland in any way, shape or form. Haven't been able to reach her as such, but from the album Banshee and the Moon, pieces which may take us around to Phil Leonis. Then again, it may take us to Tallulah. Facebook comment, wonderful world of the legend that is Tallulah Randall. People of the UK, what is your favourite venue in Brighton to play? It's important to put those things out, Al. You know, use the medium of radio to work through that. You know, people of the UK, let's expand it. People of the USA, what is your favourite venue in Brighton to play? You know,
the amount of funny comments I've had about that comment. I just the way. Basically, I've found that if you put something on Facebook, like you have a question, you're asking for help about something, it's normally brilliant. People kind of come back with loads of answers and suggestions. That one has just come back with a series of comical comments, like asking me if I've been watching Star Wars and kind of channeling Yoda.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Question asked by Master Yoda, it sounds like.
Yeah.
People of the UK, genius. But we need to get back to the serious nature of The Joys of the Banshee and the Moon. We have two fine folk in the studio. We have Jill Hart from Linden Books, who's already been celebrating the joys of the literary events that are coming up there. You should have Tallulah Randall playing, because after all, she's had Libellus, which was obviously based on a literary text, etc. Mm-hmm. And she does the classic line with Alive, which was photography, and Banshee and the Moon is even more wonderful.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, so I'm just raising that. But obviously, Linden Books is not in Brighton, so we can't Linden Books in Lincoln.
There are a lot of crime writers live in Brighton.
Oh.
There is a crime link and a literary link with Brighton.
Yeah, that's true. And Catherine Brunskill, what did you make of Pieces?
I liked it. I really enjoyed that, Tallulah.
Thank you.
I'm going to go on and have a look on your site now and look for the albums.
For Catherine Brunskill to come up with that, I'm going to say you've won.
Have I? It'd be a hard nut to crack.
you did it a little bit better for yours when we were looking at the sci-fi magazine, put it that way. Sometimes you just can't fake things. I liked your music.
it opens it up into its own way. So share with us Pieces, because obviously it comes from the Banshee and the Moon album. What? Because it's a lovely rocky number. What was the motivation, what were the thoughts behind that?
Very angry.
Right.
Very angry, Ida. Received a really horrible email from someone, and a very unfounded email. And it was a really cutting kind of personality assassination about something which was completely unfounded. But it was written by someone that I cared quite deeply for, so I was pretty gutted to receive it. And the next day I wrote that song. And it's funny how you get something really, really hurts, but you can fall into that grief and that sadness about someone being really unkind to you. And then you kind of just, get your shit back together again, don't you? Just put it all back together and dig deep and carry on, so the song really was born out of quite a sad situation, but then at the same time it was a really inspiring situation, because it really made me realise that I had all the tools I needed to put the smile back on my face again. So that was the story behind the song.
And without drawing attention to the whole thing, it was actually get your ship back together again. Yes. That's important there. It's ship, she was saying.
Yes, my ship's back together.
Exactly.
So
for a moment, I just had the warning lights of Ofcom coming on the whole thing. Whoa! Exactly. We're not having a Lily Allen moment here, for goodness sakes. Anyway, moving on. Looking at TallulahRandall.com, of course, the limited edition. Is that still available? Or can you still actually get a vinyl copy of The Joys of the Banshee and the Moon?
There are a few left. A couple of vinyl Banshees with the download code. Yeah, I I printed more than I had originally sold.
But at the same time, just as we're talking about the sense of books and how the smell of books, etc., surely the same thing can be said about vinyl. Catherine, you're too young to remember vinyl.
I remember my older sister having vinyl. Sorry, everybody.
The thing about I grew up in a house where the downstairs was just full of vinyl, because my mum used to run nightclubs in the 70s, and as a kid growing up, there's these really beautiful pieces of art. The cover of a Rolling Stones record or a Led Zeppelin record or a Santana record. And the detail and the art that went into the LPs was something that really inspired me. So not only did you have these beautiful covers and inside sleeves and stuff, but then the actual record itself sounded so amazing because it didn't have the compression that, an MP3 does. So just the quality of the music is just on a whole other level to what we listen to now on Spotify or iTunes or anything like that. So it's I know it's slightly archaic now, but it's for those people that really love music and really like to hear the full sound of a song, that's when you can hear it on vinyl.
Exactly.
My memory is of the Geoff Wayne War of the Worlds album with all that lovely pages of artwork. There was like a whole booklet and I loved the whole thing so much, but I don't think I've ever loved a CD quite the same way.
No, well, exactly. And I think, you know, when, you know, the practicality of CD, yes, I get it. And yes, you know, I have my albums on CDs as well. But I mean, it's just, it's a really an amazing way to listen to music. And I think it kind of, like anything, it sort of makes you slow down that little bit and kind of respect the music and the time that went. I don't know, maybe that's just me kind of wanting people to look at it that way. But, you know, we live in a time where music is so dispensable and so immediate. And with vinyl, there's a little bit, it kind of slows down the process, just that little bit. You know, the turning over the record, the taking it out of the sleeve, the kind of, you know, the appreciation of it. It's a slightly different process to pressing buy now. And then you get meh, and then pressing play, you know, on your computer.
And often when you do buy now, you often get meh. I thought that was number one at present, actually, in the download charts. In with a bullet. Meh. Anyway. Life continues. Jill, any other questions you want to raise with Tal about life, the universe, or living, growing up with a mum who actually set up the first discos in Portugal? It can happen.
It's the cover of the of what we're looking at here on the screen looks beautiful, actually, doesn't it?
It is genuine. I mean, and let's give a big up to some of the photographic geniuses who worked with him as well, Tal.
Yeah. There was Paris Aquil, who actually I met right at the end of the project, and we spent an afternoon running around Richmond Park, and then Jim Croft, who's a friend of mine from Germany, so he did some shots, and then Ben, my other half, he did some shots of us and at home, and then who else? Was Serena Bolton. She did some beautiful woodland pics, and then Akio, who shot the cover in March last year when it was freezing cold, and I was sort of wading through this ice cold river, channeling the banshee.
Yeah, naked.
Oh, I know. No, Alex, I have clothes on.
Did you? Oh, right. Oh, that's okay. Sorry. I mean, sometimes you get a show and everyone just wants to take their clothes off. I don't know what's happening with the world. Please. Anyway, that's another routine. I see that clearly the big gap in Glastonbury this year was no Tallulah Randall. But Tallulah, you are at Latitude Festival.
I am. Yep. I am at Latitude.
17th of July, right the way through to the 20th of July in Suffolk, no less.
Yes.
So not too far away from us, really, about 200 odd miles, so it's interesting. Of course, before then, you've got the Tiverton Festival as well, which is this Saturday.
Yep.
It's all go. And then the classic, of course, Brighton private living room gigs and Yorkshire private living room gigs, which is wonderful. It's not like one of those strange things, but basically you can, if you're one of the pledge performers, etc., you could actually have the opportunity of Tallulah performing in your living room, Katie.
Right. Mm. Oh, pledges, is it?
It's very good. But Latitude is there, and that's going to be fantastic. We talk about, obviously, September and all the rest of the bits and pieces as we work through that.
Yeah.
But I think I'll see if Jill can remember those last two questions that we need to ask people at this stage. No,
have you enjoyed your
telephonic communication?
That's it. Thank you for your help so much. Have you enjoyed your telephonic communication with us today?
I have indeed. Thank you very much.
And will you be joining us again?
I surely will.
Exactly. And tell a final toss, what one of your wonderful musical choices do you think should be selected to actually take us from where we are now, i.e. connecting with Lincoln, England, etc., to Phil Lynas in Los Angeles? Where should we go? Should we go?
Who is Phil?
Phil Lynas is a director. I'll give you a bit of praise here. As a director, he's a certified crime anti-violence prevention specialist. He's co-host of Chill Pack Hollywood. And as we found out from Ilana Rain, he likes to actually support his fellow co-host Dean Hagman from The X-Files when he does comedy gigs in bondage clubs in Los Angeles. Where you go with that? I don't know.
He's also colourblind.
You know, I think that was an excellent choice.
Colourblind.
Straight in there.
LA to Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world, it's time for the midweek drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only, Phil Leonis.
Yay, go Phil, go Phil, go Team USA, Team USA, go Phil. How are you, Phil Leonis?
What do I say? I separate myself from Team USA.
No. No. Yeah. It was Belgium. You know, what can you expect? You know, it was Belgium.
Well, I mean, it was one of these games where, look, America was still looking for its first ever victory over a European club in the World Cup.
Yes.
And it was one of these games where clearly the Americans were outgunned. But the sort of game that seemed to shape up nicely for theft, you know, the sort of game that's ripe for the stealing. And indeed, the American goalkeeper kept them in that game.
Tim Howard.
Tim Howard. He set a record, in fact, for the most saves in a World Cup match. But he, you know, so he kept them in it. I would say single-handedly, except many of his great saves were with his legs.
Legs, yes.
So, going towards 90 minutes, America found itself still in a scoreless tie, and then I think it was in extra time, a brilliant header from Jermaine Jones, passing over the top to a wide-open Chris Wondolowski, who had an open net in front of him, 3 feet in front of him. The ball comes down on his right foot, and he absolutely misses the wide-open goal in front of him, indeed kicks it up over the goal and into the stands. And you got the sense then, certainly on the face even of Jurgen Klinsmann, the German coach, that they missed their chance, that was it.
Catherine, of course, being a former player for Middlesbrough ladies, or Middlesbrough, what was your footballing history, Catherine?
It was younger than ladies. I was about 13 when I finished.
13 when, yeah. Basically when you decided to go into a completely different career, effectively.
Of course.
Exactly. Jill has never actually taken up the glorious sacred ball game, I don't think, as a fan.
No, I don't live in a house with men, so I don't have to.
But you were watching the game last night, Catherine?
I was, yes. Yeah. Well, to be honest, the second half and then the extra time.
Right.
I'm just interested, you mentioned there, Phil, about Jurgen Klinsmann's, how do we say it, demeanour, attitude. Yeah.
He liked to hug the Belgian manager quite a lot.
He did, and that was all very friendly, but he wasn't all that friendly when he found out there was only 1 minute of added time. That was some reaction to wondering why there was only 1 minute of...
1 minute. Well, I think they played some superb football there. They could have actually drawn level.
Of course, yeah.
It's a way to... They've got Independence Day to celebrate. Have you been following the show, Phil? Are there comments you'd like to make? And so on and so forth.
I have been following the show, not the last 15, 20 minutes or so. I think I ducked out after hearing the night that I had described last night, which was good because I don't remember any of it. Yeah, so right. That was helpful. Yeah. Always a valuable thing to tune into a radio show to hear what you did the night before.
It's a service we provide, Phil, for all our LA listeners.
But, you know, very exciting, obviously, about World Con coming up and all the, but before that, the Great Yorkshire Show. I, as it turns out, will not be coming to London for World Con.
No.
Duties requiring me to finish The Lady Killers prevent me from going on, any shooting expeditions for Truth Is Out There Part 2 until the film is done. At least any non-local shooting expeditions. We've got some shoots going on here. But also, it kind of didn't make sense to use London as our base of operations when we come over to shoot, because what we really need to be shooting for the film, because we've got everything we need in London, what we really need to be doing is Scotland and the countryside. And I don't know, I was kind of wondering whether I might be able to schedule such a trip. Because, I love going and shooting in cold weather.
Come to Mask. Exactly. What a lovely area.
Yes.
Country and course combined.
Oh. Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly. You know, I mean, after all, we've had a number. I mean, Red Car Beach.
A tournament, A tournament was filmed just 2 miles from me, on the coast.
Yeah. Because Red Car Beach looked exactly like Dunkirk at the end of the Second World War. It's fantastic.
Well, the beach was the same. They did change the scenery of the houses, I might add there.
Teeny bit of change, but not cosmetic, if only. You know, that's the key thing. That's what we like.
Now, I do need something clarified. Le Grand Depart, the race going through Yorkshire, is that a qualifying race for the Tour de France?
It is the Tour de France, because just as I'm campaigning to actually get the colonies back to Blighty, I also think it's time we also took over the cloth of the Field of Gold and took ownership of parts of Normandy, in which case, obviously, we can have the Tour de France as part of the British culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you realise, of course, that if the Yorkshire race is part of the Tour de France, then actually France has taken over ownership.
Yeah, well, you would go down that line, wouldn't you, Phil? You know,
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not called the Tour de UK.
Yeah, well, there are those people probably in an independence group somewhere north of the border who would have issues with that in any way, shape, or form. But Andy Murray, sit and rotate. You're out this year. Sorry.
May I suggest, though, the Tour de Midweek Drive has quite a nice ring to it.
I'd go with that, Jill.
Yes, I think that sounds a very good idea.
Do a midweek drive. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Although I like the idea that, I mean, because midweek drive is part of the name, I like the idea the Tour de Midweek Drive would actually be like jalopies, you know, cars from the first part of the 20th century, a la the Great Race or something like that.
Chris Biggs, exactly. Monte Carlo or Bust. Another great movie.
Very nice.
Yes. Catherine, any questions you want to put to Phil about life and times in LA? Because obviously you're heading off to New York. We've got some very sage advice from Ilana about what could be checked out in New York. I mean, we'd like you possibly to maybe consider becoming another one of our correspondents who makes it to LA, gets features on the Chill Pack Hollywood Hour from the heart of downtown Hollywood.
Well, that would be wonderful. I am planning on going to New York in November to celebrate a birthday. Is there anything that you would be able to say to me that will make my trip, be it 5 days, possibly stopping in New York?
Or flying over to Los Angeles?
Well, of course, if I'm invited, that would be. I don't want to push myself out there, Alex, actually.
Catherine,
the obvious joke is, so you'll go to New York for 5 days, and then you would fly to Los Angeles, and then some other year you'll visit America.
Well, no, actually, we are planning on doing possibly 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks of, as the A66 we keep calling it, which is our local road, but Route 66, that is the plan. I will be spending about 3 weeks in America and hoping to do that and then New York for my birthday. So, yeah, aside from that, I do hope that I'll see a little bit of America, like I say, but within New York, knowing that I've got a limited amount of time, what would you suggest would be the one thing that I must see? Or do, actually.
One thing? Wow, that's...
I know, it's very difficult.
Well, I mean, I don't know where does one begin? I mean, the great museums, of course. I always take in one museum every trip that I'm there. I always have to take in a live show every time I'm there. I mean, you know, the history of live theater there is still such an important part of life. A trip to Liberty Island, is always exciting. There's just too much. New York, I mean, I've been going, I was darn near splitting my time between Los Angeles and New York for many years, and I still have so many things on my to-do list of things that I have to do.
We'll get in touch with Peter Franklin, our Gabby Cabby. He'll get a sort of yellow mobile
absolutely. He should just drive her around and record the whole thing.
Exactly. Well, that's true. Why not? That can be arranged, maybe. I do like the idea of the theatre, I must admit. I do like the idea of a show. So that's
Broadway.
It. Thank you very much. Yeah, Broadway will be good.
Exactly. Or off-Broadway, or indeed off-Broadway. Number between 1 and 26, please, Catherine.
19, please.
19. Mm. Okay, your thought for the universe is as follows.
Have I ever told you about the law of relevance? It goes like this. No matter how scared or tired or ill you are, no matter how lost or confused or desperate you become, No matter how lonely, depressed, or cranky you feel, if you just do what you can with what you have from right where you are, it'll always be enough. Pretty good odds, huh? Your legal beagle, the universe.
So we've rounded the show up perfectly from that point of view. If you're listening to show or Sebastian Edgington Cole's aspect with respect to Nikki Whittaker and the Farming Safety Week, it'll come up immediately afterwards or shortly afterwards after the news. So we'll put that up from that point of view. Some more plugs for Lindum Books, please, and the events you're putting together, Jill, so that, again,
right,
it's another reason for Phil to sort of check out what's happening in Lincoln.
Well, as a brand new bookshop, our first ever author event is going to be on Saturday the 12th of July between 12 and 2 o'clock when children's author Louise Dale, who writes a time trigger series for 9 to 12 year olds. There's time travel stories, a bit like Enid Blyton's Secret 7 meets time travel. And she's going to be in the store for a couple of hours chatting to people, signing some books and talking to young people who want to write about how to write their books and how books get made, which is going to be very exciting.
Brilliant. That floats everybody's boats, doesn't it, Phil Leonis? He's gone to sleep again. It's been a long night.
Boat floated.
Exactly. Exactly. So what are the last two questions we need to put to Phil Leonis? Because, again, we have to juggle this thing around. We will fit in the Yellow Wellies piece in a few seconds. So, Catherine.
Phil, has it been a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
It has been a relaxing tonic, a seasonal balm.
Fantastic. Can we expect to see you back again soon?
You will see me back again soon, and you will hear my dulcet tones 1 week hence. Yeah,
fantastic.
And would you like to reverse that? Because it was Catherine's first ever show in the Lincoln studio.
Wow, Catherine, have you not only enjoyed the telephonic links, but the tastefully appointed Siren Studios?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a fantastic place to be. I've enjoyed being down here today. I'd like to come back at some point. Be great to do that, and lovely to talk to everybody that we've had on the show as well.
Excellent. Well,
thank
just
you.
Make yourself a copy of the key, and we'll see you.
I'll see you in Mask on that beach in the countryside.
I think so, because Scotland hasn't quite made that next sort of stage up to the whole system. That's all right. Jill, have you enjoyed the programme?
Very much, Alex. A pleasure to be back.
And we'll see you in a fortnight.
You will indeed.
So we will do our soft farewells. Thanks to Catherine Brunskill, Jill Hart, Cameron Tilbury, Miranda from Angelina Ballerina. Curiously, Phil didn't mention Angelina Ballerina at all.
No.
Very quiet about the sequence, though. Are you still there, Phil?
I am. Well, I mean, you mean during my copious 8 minutes on the air, I didn't mention everybody on the show?
Yeah, Nigel Pulling, Richard Edwards, Ilana Rain, Tallulah Randall, and, of course, Phil Leonis, and you, dear listener, without whom the Tour de Midweek Drive would just not have been as much fun as it has been. You know, it just works every time. So give yourselves a round of applause and a pat on the back and smile.